Super thick, manipulating files. As you see, the Braille light lets you create files to enter your personal data. Soon you'll have many files in your Braille light, and we'll need to do things like rename them, change their sizes, and simply open them to read and write in them. You might want to look at a list of your files, delete ones you no longer need, and create new ones. All of these options are handled through the Files menu. What's the name of the currently open file? When we turn on the Braille light, we hear Braille light ready, file name is open. Recall that the Braille light knows what file you were in and where your cursor was within that file the last time you turned it off. So when you turn the Braille light on again, hearing that file's name and seeing it displayed are very helpful. But what if you're working in a file and get interrupted by a long phone call, or if you just can't remember what file you were working in before lunch, and you forgot to turn off the Braille light? Hopefully you weren't running on battery, wasting valuable battery time. Anyway, you just want to know the name of your file that's open. You could press a Z chord, normally used to abort commands, from anywhere within your currently open file to hear its name, size, and whether Braille translation is on for this file. Since we're concentrating on the file's menu options in this chapter, however, let's see how to find out its name from there. Enter the file's menu. Remember how we did this before to create our practice file? First, enter the options menu with an O chord and the Braille light says options. Then jump to the choice by writing an S. You are prompted, enter file command. Write a T to hear practice one page Braille file is open. Enter file command. This tells us that the open file is our practice file, that it is one Braille light page in size, and that it is a Braille or grade 2 file. Finally, we hear the files menu prompt again. Enter file command. The Braille display actually gives us more information than does the voice. Notice that the display reads something like 4, practice, 1, 2, 3, 1, PB. You'll probably have to tap the advance bar forward one time to see the entire message. There's a lot of information about the file here. You are shown its number, its name, the number of bytes or characters in the file, including spaces and control characters, the number of Braille light pages the file contains, and finally a letter B if Braille translation is turned on for the file. We'll explain what the file's number means later in this chapter and how to hear such detailed information about the file spoken. But for now, just focus on the fact that you can see the file's name, how big it is, and whether Braille translation is on or off. Remember that we are in the files menu now, looking at the name of the currently open file. To get back into the file, wherever you have stopped in it, just exit the files menu with the letter E. Exit is one of the choices on the files menu. Any time you want to exit the files menu to return to your currently open file, simply write an E and the Braille light says exit. By the way, pressing an E chord or a Z chord also exits the files menu. New, 6.1, exploring the file command menu. There are so many things you can do with the files menu that we decided to include a way from within the files menu for you to view a list of all its commands. It's true that you can simply invoke a files menu command with a single keystroke, and most of them are very intuitive, as it's true, for create a file. But there are just so many that having a list of them readily available is helpful. In the following sections of this chapter, we'll go through many of the commands you can issue from within your files menu. But in the present section, let's just check out the list of commands the files menu has available. From wherever you are in your currently open file, press an O chord to bring up the option menu, and then write an F to hear the prompt Enter File command. From the Enter File command prompt, press a TH sound chord, .1456 chord. Notice that this is the same command that invokes help from within your currently open file. The bell light says, File command menu, and waits for you to press something else. Now, recall from our exploration of the status menu way back in Chapter 1 that there are certain standards for navigating around a menu or a list on a braille light. These also hold true here. Press the C chord to hear the current command choice, in this case, Exit Files menu. Press the .4 chord to hear the next command choice, Create File. Press the .1 chord to hear the previous one, the one we were just on, Exit Files menu. Pressing .456 chord takes you to the last command choice in the list, Change Name of Current Folder. And pressing an O chord takes you back to the first command choice, Exit Files menu. There are so many files menu commands that we won't spend time here listing them all, but see Appendix B for a complete list. For the remainder of this chapter, we'll concentrate on the commands we use the most from within the files menu, and in other sections of this menu, we'll cover the other commands available from within the files menu where appropriate. To exit the list of commands available in the files menu and hear the Enter File command prompt itself again, simply write an invalid keystroke like a Z, for instance, and you'll hear Invalid File command, Enter File command. I'll point to one of the valid command choices in the command list, use .4 chords and .1 chords, and press an E chord to invoke it. So, for example, from the command list prompt, File command menu, press a C chord and hear Exit Files menu, then a .4 chord and hear Create File. Pressing an E chord at this point causes the braille light to prompt you, Enter name of file to create. Remember, you can always abort the process with a V chord, so do that now if you don't really want to create a new file at this time. If you press a Z chord from within your file command menu, you get kicked out of the files menu altogether and end up back in your currently open file, wherever you left off, not at the Enter File command prompt. So it's important to know where you are in this process, or you could find yourself writing something in your currently open file that you intended to be a response to your files menu command. Just be clear that you understand. When you press O chord and then write an F, you hear Enter File command. This is a prompt from the files menu itself. When you press a TH sign chord and hear File command menu, you're in a list of available commands within the files menu. Experiment a bit. Navigate around the File command menu a little before moving on to the rest of this chapter. There's a lot to cover, so don't move on until you're ready. Part 2, Listing Your Files. Right now, you should have very few files in your braille light, some from the factory and the practice file we created together. But as you keep stressing, it won't be long before you have many files in your braille light. So let's see how to get a listing of the files you have and how to move from file to file. Remember how to get into the files menu? From our currently open file, press an O chord and then write an F to bring up the prompt Enter File command. From the files menu, write the letter L to check out your current list of files. Write a P to get a quick list, just the file name, or write a V to get a verbose listing with all relevant file information about each file. Press a Z chord to copy your file's list temporarily to the clipboard. Let's check out how many files we have. You should be in your practice file. It doesn't matter what text you have in it right now. We'll just assume that you're starting from there. Get into the files menu with an O chord followed by the letter F. At the prompt under file command, write an L. The bollards should say something like this. Files list. Help, 6 pages. Clipboard, 1 page. Calendar.brl, 1 page. Braille file. Spell.dic, 86 pages. Practice, 1 page. Braille file. 67 pages remaining. Enter file command. The number of pages remaining depends on the number of files that came with your unit from the factory, of course, and also depends on the sizes of your files. This is just an example. New. As we mentioned above, on the Braille display, you actually see more information than what is spoken, some of which is abbreviated. For example, when listing a file, the Braille light says something like, one page Braille file, but it displays 1PB. If the file has the Grade 2 Braille translator turned off, it just announces the number of pages in the file and displays the number of pages followed by a P for text file, like 1PP. And if you hear the voice, call the file an external program, the display shows the number of pages in the file followed by an F. So, to recap, when the file is listed, on the display you see the file's number, then its name, then its size, and finally the number of Braille-like pages it contains, and whether it is a Braille file, a text file, or an external program. If you tap the advance bar forward or backward to see the next or previous files listed, and each is on, that file's information is also spoken as it comes up on the display. Notice that at the end of the list, you hear Enter File Command. You're still in the files menu after hearing your file list. Let's check that our practice file is still the currently open file with a P. The Braille light should say, Practice 1 page Braille file is open. Enter File Command. For practice purposes, let's create a couple of new files before we look at how to move from file to file. Create a file called temp, T-E-M-P, for temporary, and another called name. We'll use the name file as an address book later on. We'll walk you through creating the temp file and let you create names by yourself. To create the file temp, press an O chord and at the option prompt, write an F to enter the file's menu. At the prompt, enter file command, write a C. The Braille light says, enter file to create. Write temp, T-E-M-P, and press an E chord. The Braille light says, enter the file size. Let's make this a file with 2 Braille light pages, so that we can play with the size of this temp file later. Write OP, a dropped B, and then press an E chord. The Braille light now says, use Grade 2 translator, enter wire N. Write a Y. The Braille light says, temp now open. Go ahead and create the name file. You'll be in that file, ready to write something, when you finish creating it. If you like, you may enter a few names and addresses, phone numbers, etc. A good idea is to write a single carriage return between each part of an entry and a double carriage return between entries. For example, Jane Doe, carriage return, 1600 Pennsylvania Ave, carriage return, Washington, D.C., double carriage return. John Doe, single carriage return, 555-1234, double carriage return. This way you can move from entry to entry by simply pressing .56 chords to move forward or .33 chords to move backward. We'll assume that you're in the file name as we proceed with our next topic, showing you how to move from file to file. New. point two, navigating through your files. Now let's explore moving from the beginning to the end of our existing files, checking out the names of each file along the way. We know how to get a list of all the files, but how do we quickly find the first file, or the last one, or one somewhere in the middle? Each file in the Braille light is numbered, starting with 0 for the help file. Moving to a file does not mean you can read it or write in it. All we're doing is pointing to files, physically moving to the place in the Braille light memory where the file is located, something like finding the tab in a binder of files. When you find a tab, you check out its name and either turn to the pages within it, or you move to the next tab, or to the previous one, or skip to the last one, or to the first one in your binder. That's all we're doing here. To move from file to file, get into the files menu with an O chord followed by an S. At the Enter File command prompt, you can do the following. To move to the first file, press an L chord. To move to the last file, press a ./S chord. To move back one file in the list, press a .1 chord. And to move to the next one in the list, press a .4 chord. To see the name of the file you're currently pointing to, press a C chord. And to spell out its name, press a .25 chord. Does anything sound familiar about these commands? They sound suspiciously similar to the commands for navigating around the currently open file, finding the top of a file with an L chord, reading the current line with a C chord, spelling the current word with a .25 chord, etc. You can memorize the commands to move from file to file quickly by remembering how similar they are to the ones you already know. The major difference is that when you use one of these commands from the files menu, it points to a file. Then it reads you the file's name, the number of pages it contains, and whether their translation is active for that file. New. So if all you want to hear is a file's name, though, without any other information about it, from within the files menu, just press a .3 chord to move back a file and .6 chord to move forward a file. The Braille light says the files menu and waits for you to enter another files menu command. Remember that all you're doing is .3 chord and .6 chord, just as with .1 chord and .4 chord, is pointing to your files name. If you exit the files menu after hearing a file's name, you'll find yourself back in whatever file you had opened before you brought up the files menu. Certainly, we'll show you how to open a file once you're pointing to it from within the files menu. But first, practice navigating through the files list itself. From your currently open file name, press an O chord followed by an S to get the prompt Enter File command. Now press an L chord. The Braille light should say something like, File number 0, help, 6 pages. Now press a .4 chord to hear, Clipboard, 1 page. Press another .4 chord to hear, Calendar.brl, 1 page, Braille file. Press .1 chord to go back a file and hear, Clipboard, 1 page. Press a .25 chord to hear the name of this file spelled out. File number 1, Clipboard, C-L-I-P-B-O-A-R-D, 1 page. Press .6 chord to hear just the name of the next file in the list, Calendar.brl, and then a .3 chord to hear the previous file's name again, Clipboard. Just for fun, let's see what happens when you write a T. Maybe you can't remember which file you last opened. The Braille light should say, Names, 1 page, Braille file is open, Enter File command. Now press a C chord. The Braille light says, Clipboard, 1 page. Why? Well, even though the currently open file is named, we're looking at the tab for the file called Clipboard. See the difference? The file we're pointing to may not be the one that's open. If we want to open the file we're pointing to, we have to tell the bailite to open that file with an O cord. Knowing whether the file you're feeding to in the files list is currently open is crucial. Basically, you can issue a file's menu command to affect a file in two ways. If the file is already open, you can affect it with a command from the file's menu by writing the first letter of the command, for example, R for rename. But if the file is not open, you must point to it first and issue the command from the file's menu with its corresponding letter chord command, for example, an R chord for rename. Let's look at how to open a file next. Opening an existing file. So we're moving along, checking the names of our files, and run across the one we want to open, even though we have name open already. We'll start at clipboard. That's not a good file to open because that's the bailite trash can, scratch pad, and temporary storage area. Let's get back into our old practice file. At the prompt, enter file command, press a few .4 chords until you hear practice one page bail file, plus an O chord. The bailite says, practice now open. You can go ahead and read or write here. What happened to me? How nice that the bailite took care of closing it and saving that file for us without our having to do anything. This is a departure from the usual procedures you follow with files on your standard personal computer. The bailite is unique in that you never have to save a file. Not when you go to open another file, not when you turn off the unit. It seems simple enough to open a file by moving to it and opening it with an O chord when you just have a few files. But think about what it would be like to have to do that if you have full files. What's an easier way? If you know the name of the file you want to open, all you have to do is tell the bailite its name, and the unit will find it and open the file for you. For instance, let's say you're in the file practice and want to go back to the file name. Press an O chord followed by an F to get to the file's menu prompt. Enter file command. Then, write the letter O. The bailite says, enter file to open. Write out the name of the file and press an E chord. Almost instantaneously, the bailite says, name's now open. If you're in a file and realize you need some information from the file you last opened, press an O chord followed by the letter L to bring up that file again. You don't even need an E chord. The bailite remembers what file you opened last and takes you there, placing you at whatever point you'd stopped in that file. Pressing O chord L again returns you to the file from which you started, at the point where you'd stopped working in it. Or you can flip back and forth between the last two files you've opened by pressing .1256 chords. So for example, if you have names open but want to check something in your practice file, which was the file you had opened last, just press an O chord L to bring up the practice file. Then, when you finish getting what you need from it, return to your main file in a flash by pressing another O chord L. Even if you turn off the bailite, it remembers the last two files you had opened. So, when you turn the machine on again, not only does it place you back in the file in which you were last working at the point you had stopped, it can jump you to the file you had opened before that one, and place you at the point you had stopped in it as well. This feature can be especially useful if you find yourself juggling between, say, your calendar file and your main file all the time. Now for practice, try opening a file that doesn't exist. Bring up the files menu with an O chord F. At the prompt, enter file command, write hello, and press an E chord. The Brellite says, can't find that file, enter file command. This means that the file doesn't exist or that you wrote an incorrect name. If you really think you have a file by the name you wrote, it might be that you spelled it differently. So you can move around from file to file with .4 chords and .1 chords until you're pointing to it, hear its correct spelling with a .25 chord, and then open it with an O chord. And speaking of file names and how you spell them, take care how you name your files. What do you think will happen if you name a file Mary using Go2Bell? The Bellwright will let you name your file that way. It's not smart enough to know that you're writing Go2Bell when you're in the files menu. The Braille translation works only from within a file. What happens when a file called Mary, written in Go2Bell, is pointed to, opened, appears as part of a files list, etc.? The Bellwright says, comma, M, data, Y. It sees the .6 and AR signs all as ASCII symbols, not as contracted Braille. So we suggest that you always name your files using uncontracted Braille. Uh-oh. Did you use Go2Bell when you created names? If so, don't worry. You'll see how to rename it shortly. But first, let's check out another way to open files using a shortcut, number. New, 625, opening an existing file by its number. As we've pointed out, the Braille display shows you not only the names of your files, it shows you how your files are numbered in the Bellwright. Did you notice when you move from file to file that file numbers as well as file names were spoken? When you go to the beginning of the files list from the files menu with an O chord or to the end of the list with the .456 chord, and even when you press a C chord to see the name of the file currently being pointed to, the Bellwright always says something like, file 0 help 6 pages. This is because files in the Bellwright's memory are numbered sequentially. You can have a maximum of 127 files in RAM and 992 in flash, assuming that each file is small. Actually, the number of files you can have in the Bellwright at any given time varies with their sizes at that time. If you have a file with 30 Bellwright pages, a substantial size by the way, chances are the total number of files you will be able to fit in the Bellwright will be far less than the upper limits we provide here. We suggest you create small files and add Bellwright pages to them as needed, rather than have valuable space taken up with blank Bellwright pages. But to get back to the original point of this section, the Bellwright numbers files sequentially. The help file is 0, the clipboard is 1, and so on. If you frequently need to jump to a certain file, just open the file by its number. Note, it's important to keep in mind that although the Bellwright can hold up to 127 files in RAM, you can get to only the first 100 files by using the two-digit number from 00 to 99. For files numbered higher than 99, you need to open them through the files menu. Also, files stored in flash cannot be opened by number. Technical details are in Appendix A. For our present discussion, though, let's see an example of opening a two-digit numbered file located in the RAM portion of your unit. Bring up the help file from whatever file you're in right now. What's the easiest way, remember? Press a TH sound chord and the Bellwright jumps into the help file with the prompt, help is open. Depending on how many files were loaded into your unit from the factory, the number in our example may be off. But go ahead and open the file whose number we suggest anyway for practice. For example, let's say that you want to get into the fifth file on your download. That might be the file we created a little while ago called temp. From the help file, press an OK, and you'll hear the prompt, options. Now, instead of getting into the files menu as you've been doing, simply write 04. We're wondering to use that number. Why 04? The number of the file set is 0 for the help file. Therefore, the fifth file in the BearLite is numbered 04. The BearLite says something like, temp now open. It's that easy. You don't even have to press an E-code. In this case, the BearLite doesn't need it. What happens if you write the number for a non-existent file, like 9? Given our present number of 6 files. No problem. The BearLite merely says, file doesn't exist, and leaves you exactly where you were in your currently open file. Of course, if you try to write the file's number in game 2 there, the letter I instead of the ASCII dropped I, the BearLite will really reject your request, saying invalid input, and leave you exactly where you were in your currently open file. The thing to be careful of in using the O-code from within a file to get to the options menu is that if you write a letter, the BearLite thinks is a real option, like the letter F we've been working with, it will take you to that option. In the case of the letter F, we already know it's the files menu. Now let's move forward with several housekeeping file commands. Point 6, renaming a file. How about changing the name of our file called temp to drill? We're just going to practice doing things to this file as if it had data, so we can carry with it without danger of messing up anything important. We'll assume that your currently open file is temp. Let's enter the files menu in the usual way, with an O-code followed by an F. At the enter file command prompt, write an R. The BearLite says, enter file name. Write the file name there and press an E-code. The BearLite says, okay, enter file command. Note that we're still in the files menu. To get back into our currently open file, now called GIF, all we have to do is write an E to exit the files menu. But what if we want to change the name of another file, one that is not currently open? The first thing to do is point to the file. Remember how that's done? Let's change the name of the file name to address. You don't have to open that file, you just have to point to it. So from the files menu, at the enter file command prompt, press a couple of .4 chords until you're on name. Then press an R chord. The BearLite says, enter file name, write address, followed by an E chord. The BearLite now says, okay, enter file command, just as it did before. Where will you be when you press an E to exit the files menu? Right. Back in the file drill, because that is the currently open file. Notice the difference in the two commands just discussed for renaming a file. You issue the command with R if the file is currently open, and with R chord if you are pointing to the file but it is not currently open. Keep this in mind as we move through the next few commands. They work the same way. Chapter 7. Write protecting and unprotecting a file. To guard against a serious blunder, such as accidentally deleting your address file, you can protect files from deletion or from being overwritten in some way. For files that are absolutely essential, it is a good idea, especially if you want to try out a new command on the BearLite that affects files, for example, changing its size. Protecting a file is like putting a lock on it, in effect. Safeguarding yourself against losing or scrambling its contents. The protect and unprotect commands work the same way as many other commands within the file's menu. If the file is already opened, writing a key from the file's menu protects the file. If the file is not already open, point to it first, then issue a pcord command to protect it. The corresponding command pair is the letter U and ucord for unprotecting files. Let's go through an example. Open your file called Drill, if you're not already in it. Now get into the file's menu with an O chord followed by an F. At the Enter File command prompt, write a P. The bell light says, File is write protected. Enter File command. Exit the file's menu with an E and try writing something in your Drill file. Every time you write a character, the bell light says, File is write protected. Oh, you can read the file just fine, but now you can't write anything in it. In fact, the Drill file has nothing in it right now anyway. But if it did, you would only be able to read its contents, not write in file. Let's protect our graph file, shall we? You wouldn't want to lose that. Bring up the file's menu, use an O chord followed by an S, and at the Enter File command prompt, press on that 4 chords and that 1 chords until you're saving to address. Now press a key chord. The bell light says, File is write protected, Enter File command. Great. Even though the address file is not currently open, the word is protected by pointing to it first and then issuing a key chord. Now let's get back to our Drill file and unprotect it in case we want to write something in it or do something else with the file. Just exit the file's menu with an E. Remember, you never opened your address file, just protected it. So now you should be back in Drill. Bring up the file's menu and at the Enter File command prompt, write a U. The bell light says, Unprotect, Enter File command. That's fine. Simply exit the file's menu with an E and write something in your Drill file. You should be able to do that with no hitches now that the file is unprotected again. Another way to protect a file, not so much from glitches, but for privacy in the event someone else has access to your Drill light, is to put a password on the phone. Enter the file's menu and open the file you want to protect with a password. Then bring up the file's menu again. Write a W. The bell light says, Enter password. Write a word with special meaning to you that is not likely to be guessed by others, and make sure it contains no more than 6 characters. Or write a set of letters and numbers that mean something to you, but that would be gibberish to anyone else. Press an E chord. The bell light says, Enter password again. Re-enter the same password and press another E chord. From now on, when you want to open this file, you'll get the prompt, Enter password. Each time you press an O chord from the file's menu to try to get into the file. If you write an incorrect password, the bell light kicks you into a help file saying, Help is open. To take the password away from the file, bring up the file's menu and press an O chord, as if you were going to open it. At the Enter password prompt, press the dot 5 followed by an E chord. At the second Enter password prompt, press another dot 5 chord, followed by an E chord. From now on, the file can be opened again, without a password. Next, we'll see how to delete files you no longer need. Page 8, deleting files. Let's delete the file called Drill. After all, it's just a junk file we're using for practice. We'll assume that you're currently in the Drill file as we go through this example. Get into the file's menu and at the Enter File command prompt, set a D. The bell light says, Enter File to delete. Write the name of the currently open file, drill, and press an E chord. The bellwright says, delete, drill, are you sure, enter YRM. Press Y. The bellwright confirms, OK, help is open, enter file command. Since you have just deleted the file you had opened, the bellwright puts you back into the help file. But now let's look at a slightly different scenario, where the file you want to delete is not the file that is currently open. Let's get rid of the file practice. First, get into your file address, which should still be protected from when we work through that example. Don't worry that you can't write in it for now. Get into the files menu and at the enter file command prompt, write a B. At the prompt, enter file to delete, write practice, followed by an E chord. The bellwright says, delete practice, are you sure, enter YRM. Write a Y. The bellwright says, okay, enter file command. Where do you think you'll be when you enter the files menu with an E? Right. Back in your address file. Why? Because the file you just deleted is not the file you had opened. So the bellwright went out into the binder and found the file you wanted to delete, tracked it, and returned you to your currently open file. It's like tossing something into the wastebasket under your desk. Here's another example of file deletion. This time, let's look at what happens when we don't have a file open but are pointing to a file we want to delete. Open up the help file with a TH sign chord. Get into the files menu and at the prompt enter file command. Use dot fill chord till you reach the file address. You're pointing to it, but it is not open. Press a D chord. The bellwright says, file is write protected. Good. Remember, we had protected the address file from just this kind of potential disaster. If the address file had not been protected, though, the bellwright would still have a safeguard for you. The prompt would have been, delete, address, are you sure, enter YRM. All you'd have to do is write the letter N, and the bellwright would simply say, enter file command, and you'd still have the help file open. A final example involves deleting a group of files with similar names. If you're accustomed to using MS-DOS file naming conventions and wildcards, this section will be old news to you. But check out the command that lets you delete groups of similarly named files. From section 4.2, you'll remember that we explained how MS-DOS uses a two-part name for files. The file name portion can be up to 8 characters in length, and the extension portion can be up to 2 characters in length. A period separates the two parts. So a typical file name is something like letter.txt or address.doc. We also said that you don't need to have all 8 characters for the file name portion or all 3 characters for the extension portion, and in fact, you can have just the file name portion without the period and the extension. For many MS-DOS commands, you can use wildcard characters when you want to affect a group of files with similar names. For example, if you want to copy a bunch of files all ending with the extension txt, or if you want to delete a group of files all beginning with the numbers 1, 2, 3, likewise, the bellwright understands these wildcard characters for certain file commands. The first of these commands we've encountered is the command to delete files. The wildcard characters are the asterisk, dash, or .16 in computer desk, and the question mark, or .1456 in computer desk. The asterisk replaces a group of characters, the question mark replaces an individual character. For instance, here you have the files letter.txt and letter.doc. The wildcard name for these two files is letter.star, because the part that is the same in both files is the file name, letter, and the part that is different is the extension, txt and doc. their third wild card is the ascension person. Likewise, if you have the files date.txt and rate.txt, the wildcard name for them is ?ates.txt, because everything in their respective names is the same except for the wildcard first letter in their file name tokens. For further example, see Appendix A. What does all this have to do with deleting files? If you have a group of files in the Braille light with similar names that you want to get rid of, from the files menu, write a G. The Braille light says, enter file to delete. The file name you write should include at least one wildcard. Just remember to write in computer Braille the asterisk and or the question mark you include as part of the file name. The Braille light finds the files with all the names that match your wildcard description and says something like delete file *.txt yrm. Write a Y to accept the deletion or M to cancel it. Clearly, this is a command to be used with caution, but it can save you time when you have a large number of files to delete that have some part of their names in common. If you have extra cautious of deleting groups of files all at once, use wildcard characters with the D command instead of the G command from within the files menu. When you respond to the D command with a wildcard file name pattern, it forces the Braille light to ask you whether you want to delete each file it finds with your wildcard character pattern, instead of asking you if you want to delete the whole group at once. This makes it tedious with a large group of similarly named files, but it is a safety net. Just in case there's one file out of that big bunch you really don't want to delete after all. The last thing you'll look at related to manipulating files is changing your size. Let's play with this concept next. Point 9, changing the size of a file. Throughout this section, we've talked a lot about the Braille light page. Let's briefly review this concept. A Braille light page is really a block of memory consisting of space equal to 4,096 characters. If you consider that a standard 11 by 11.5 inch piece of Braille paper can hold a maximum of 1,000 characters, you can see that 4,096 is a lot. It's like having four pieces of Braille paper each filled with characters in every single cell, and of course, that's not how Braille pages are filled. You have spaces, which by the way, computers count as characters. You have blank lines for formatting purposes, etc. Blank lines are also counted by a computer, as the control characters we mentioned earlier, carriage returns and line feeds. Since the Braille light's memory is not pieces of paper, but rather a continuous space to be filled with characters, and since the Braille light doesn't care whether those characters are text or control characters, the blocks of 4,096 characters worth of memory called pages are hefty chunks of memory. Usually, when you create a Braille light file, it's a good idea to create it with only one page, unless you know that you're going to be filling up the file very rapidly with data. Why waste valuable Braille light memory by creating a file that has many blank pages? But the time will no doubt come when you do need to add a page to an existing file. The Braille light lets you add space to a file, but only in chunks or pages of 4,096 characters worth of space. Let's see how this works. First, you might want to check how much room there is left in your file. Unless you've gotten a file is full message when you try to write, or a not enough room message when you try to copy or insert, you're still okay. Let's work with your address file. Press an R chord from anywhere within your file to see how much room you have left. Chances are you have plenty. Now open the help file with the shortcut THN chord, that's 1456 chord. Another way to check how many characters are in a file is through the file's menu. Bring it up with the usual O chord followed by an F and write a WH sound chord, .156 chord. The bell writes something like, help, 22,339 bytes, enter file command. It displays something like, 0, help, 22,339,5, P. Remember, the number of characters counted includes everything in your file. Control characters, spaces, decorative characters, formatting keys, and so on. But it does give you a very accurate reading of the size of the file that you're pointing to from within the files menu. Bring up the files menu again, and this time, write just the WH sign. The bell light says, enter file name, write address, and press an E chord. The bell light tells you its size even though you haven't pointed to it. Here's .1 or .4 chords, and even though the address file is not currently open. If you answered the enter file name prompt with a wildcard description, such as the ones we described in the previous section, the bell light would tell you the sizes of all the files fitting the wildcard pattern you wrote. In any case, you can use a WH sound chord from the files menu to get the size of the open file and just a plain WH sound to get the size of the file you're pointing to, even if it's not open, or the sizes of a group of files with similar names. Now leave the files menu with an E. You should be back in the help file. Since the last file you had open before you got into the help file was address, and since you got into help with the TH sound chord, pressing a Z chord should reopen address. Run through this example a couple of times for practice. We've jumped around a lot. Just to show you how flexible your bell light is about leaping from file to file and giving you information about them quickly and efficiently. Now, we're going to make our address file bigger. Even though right now it's big enough, let's practice adding a page to it. First, we have to unprotect it because otherwise the bell light won't let us do anything to the thing. Find the file address from your files menu and open it, if you're not already there. Don't worry that the bell light tells you the file is write protected. Get into the files menu and unprotect the address file with a U at the enter file command prompt. The bell light should say, unprotected, enter file command. Now just write an E to exit the files menu and get back into your address file. Check out how much room there is left in the file at this point with an R chord. It should be considerable. Over 3,500 characters worth anyway, unless you have entered lots of names and addresses. Under normal circumstances, we'd say fine, leave the file as is and don't add to it. But for practice, let's make the file bigger. Get into the files menu and at the prompt, write a D. The bell light says, enter number of pages to expand. Press an E chord. The bell light says, OK. And where do you suppose you are? Yes, right where you left off within your address file. The bell light simply gains you another page worth of memory and puts you back where you were in the file. If you want to increase the size of your file by more than one page at once, enter the prompt with a dropped number, indicating how many extra pages you want. But unless you know that you're going to be filling a file with a lot of data quickly, such as a file from your computer, it's probably better to increase pages one at a time, so that you don't waste valuable bell light space. How much room do you have in the address file now? Press an R chord. The number should be well over 8,000. Let's return the address file to its original one-page size. This is really too big for our purposes right now. Get back into the files menu and write an F if you enter file command prompt. The bell light says, enter number of pages to subtract. Press an E chord. The bell light says OK, and once again, leaves you back in your file where you have left off. Since you want to decrease the size of a file, answering the prompt with the number of pages you want to remove deletes them from the end of the file. Did you get that? When the bell light adds or subtracts pages from your file, understand that the block is being added to or subtracted from the end of your file. You can't, for example, be 5 lines into a file and decide that you want a blank chunk of space between where you are and the next block of text you already had in the file, or that you have a chunk of text you no longer want and therefore you'd like the bell light to subtract that block using the commands just described. How do you add and delete text? We covered that earlier. You use the insert command or the delete command within your file for those kinds of activities. The commands described in the present section have to do with big chunks of bell light memory. Can you see how crucial it is to keep track of free space in a file and to know how many characters are actually in that file before removing pages from the end of your file? Just as with previous commands within the file's menu, you can make a file bigger or smaller, adding or subtracting bell light pages when those files are not open. As with other file's menu commands, you point to the file first, and then if you're a B chord or F chord for bigger and smaller respectively, and follow the prompt to make the file being pointed to bigger or smaller. Then we more than one file of personal data in the bell light, let's see how to copy an entire file into the one you have open. New 6.10, copying an entire file into the currently open file. Well, by now you should have at least a chapter and an address file in your bell light. Be adventurous and create a couple of other files too, or start adding information to your calendar.bll file. What we'll talk about in this section is how to copy an entire file into the one you currently have open.
Email track file. Remove this cassette. Change the side selected to expand. And insert tape number 2. Continuing with section 6.10, copying an entire file into a currently open file.
Let's take an example. Suppose you're writing a school paper in a file called paper and have all your bibliography information in another file called bibliography. You were very diligent when you wrote your bibliography notes in that file, and you made sure that it was alphabetized and punctuated properly. Who wants to have to retype all that information into your actual paper? So, we'll copy that bibliography file into this one. The first step is to find out how many bell light pages your currently open file contains. Remember? You can do this by entering the file's menu and either reading it on the display or writing a key to hear the bell light report information about the file, including how many bell light pages it contains. Next, you'll need to know how many pages the bibliography file contains. Assuming you're still in the file's menu after you found out the number of pages your currently open file has, move to the bibliography file by pointing to it with .1 or .4 chords until you hear its name. Then look at the display or press a C chord to hear the report of information in this file. Remember that your currently open file is still paper. All we've done here is points to the bibliography file to check out the number of braille-like pages it contains to make sure we have enough room in the file we do have open to accommodate it. Return to your currently open file now by pressing an E, record, or record, any of these. Insert will exit the file's menu and take you back into paper again, where you left off in that file. If the paper file you're working in isn't big enough, you'll need to make it bigger so it can accommodate the incoming file. Review section 6.9 to see how to do that. Assuming your currently open file is big enough, or that you've made it big enough to fit the incoming file, move your cursor to the place where you want to insert the incoming file. In our case, this is the bibliography, so we'll make sure we're at the end of the currently open file with a back 456 chord. It's critical to place your cursor exactly where you want the insertion to take place because the file will be copied wherever your cursor is located. Even if where you want the new file to be is at the end of the current one, you should probably write a carriage return or a hard page break at the point where the new file is to be inserted. Otherwise, the new file may align differently once it's copied into your current file than it did when it was a separate file. Words may wrap differently and page numbering may be way off from what you expect. So be clear about where you want the new file to go in your current document, or you could have a mess on your hands. The good news is, though, that you can delete large chunks of text as we saw in section 5.6. So in case you end up with the wrong file or it's in the wrong place, you can recover. Okay, we're ready to copy. Press an ING sign chord dot 346 chord and you'll hear it paste what? Write a letter F for file and the braille write says file, enter file name. Write the name of the file you want to insert, bibliography in our example, and press an E chord. The file is instantly inserted at your cursor position, and if interactive is turned on, the braille write begins reading its contents to you. Notice that the display stays put, even though the voice, if it's on, might be chattering away past the contents of the display. You could simply use the advanced dial to check out what's there, or move to the end of the file, or back to the beginning, or whatever you wish at this point. If the braille write's voice starts reading the contents of the file, you can set up the speech with a record. And you might want to do just that if the file you've just inserted is wrong. In the event you miscalculate the number of braille write pages you needed for the incoming file, when you try to insert it, the braille write says not enough room and leaves you back in your currently open file exactly where you were at the point where you expected the file to be copied. Also, remember that all you've done is copy the file, not remove it. The original is still intact. Thank goodness. Practice a while with the commands we've gone over in these last few sections. We've covered a great deal. The only thing left to do now is to find out how much room we have free in the braille write. New 6.11 free space in the braille write. As you add and delete files and change your sizes, the amount of free space in the braille write varies. From time to time, it's a good idea to check out just how much free space you do have left, especially if you're about to add a busy. This way, you can find out how many pages you have left in RAM, as well as how much memory you have left in flash. From the files menu, simply write an F at the Enter File command prompt. The braille write reports that you have X number of pages left and how much flash memory you have left. For example, you'll hear something like 184 pages remaining, 2045K slash, enter file command. Of course, this example is for an empty barrel. Like, no doubt your unit will show numbers that are very different. New 6.12 working with folders. Recall from section 1.2 that we mentioned you can organize your files into folders for easier use. Now that you know how to create your own personal files and work with them, you'll find that your files list may rapidly grow out of control. In other words, there's no reason why you couldn't have a phone book file, followed by a letter to a friend, followed by a file containing your notes in class, your recipe file, and so on. And what about external programs like the checkbook writer and Braille-based graphic or Braille terms that you might also have loaded onto your unit? Such a hodgepodge is okay for a while, but who can keep track of it all after 20 or 30 files have been created? With the expanded capacity of your BAM life, there's no telling how many files might be floating around. Let's assume for a moment to our description of the Bellite as a binder with tabs separating each group of pages into files. As we said in section 1.2, you might decide to separate groups of related files into different binders or folders. For example, your recipes file, your diet chart, and your restaurant menus could be in a folder called Food. Your checkbook, budget information, bank statements, and the like could be in a folder called Money. And how about all those games you downloaded from our BBS to play in your spare time? Why not put them all in a folder called Games? As you can see, having folders can make life much simpler once you have more than just a few files in your daylight. Let's see how it all works. New 6.12.1, running in folder mode. The first thing you need to understand is that when you create folders and put your files into them, you're not merely making extra copies of your files. When you have folder mode turned on, it simply means that you can access your files in a more organized way, but there is still only one copy of each of your files in your unit. To ensure that you don't think you've lost files you thought you had, we've made folder mode a setting you can toggle from the status menu. If you're an old-time user, it's important to realize that if the feature is turned off, your unit will behave as it always has, allowing you to view your files through the files menu as we learned earlier in this chapter. But when folder mode is turned on, you have the option of flipping back and forth between viewing your files in the standard way we explained in section 6.2, or in a new way, a folder full at a time. To turn on folder mode, enter the status menu with the usual ST sign cord, not 3-4 cord. Now jump to the setting that toggles this mode on and off with an S cord. From the factory, we have set the folder mode to off. So you should hear, allow folder mode off, the first time you bring up this setting in the status menu, to turn it on right away. Anytime you want to disable folder mode, simply toggle it off with an N. While folder mode is turned on, you'll be able to move files in and out of folders you create with ease. And we provide an initial couple of folder names for your convenience. Now that we have toggled folder mode on from within the status menu, let's look at how it affects the way we can view and bring up our files. New 6.12.2, navigating through folders. Once folder mode is in effect, you can flip between viewing your files as you always have or viewing them in their respective folders. To do this, enter the files menu from wherever you are in the currently open file. Pressing the spacebar toggles between All Files mode, which is the way you've been viewing your files up to now, and folder mode. It is the new way to view your files in whatever folder you put them. Go ahead and try this now. We'll assume you're in your practice file. So we're all starting from the same place. Bring up the files menu with an O chord followed by an S. At the prompt, enter file command, press a spacebar. Since this is the first time we've invoked folder mode, you should hear folder mode, ran startup, ran folder, enter file command. In fact, when folder mode is in effect from within the status menu and you have toggled the files menu to view your files in your folder, whenever you bring up the files menu, you'll hear the name of the current folder before you hear the familiar prompt enter file command. Now, what is this RAM startup folder? Since your unit is equipped with RAM and flash memory, and since you have folders in either memory area of your grow light, the default names of your RAM and flash folders are RAM startup and flash startup. Make sense? At the moment, the RAM startup folder contains all your files because we haven't moved any of them into another folder, and we haven't created new files in another folder. Your flash startup folder is present, but has no files in it. Since we haven't moved any files from the RAM area into the flash memory area. To move from file to file in the current folder, you can just use the same .1 chord to move back a file and .4 chord to move forward a file, which you've always used when looking at your files list. To move from folder to folder, press the .23 chord to move back a folder, and .56 chord to move forward a folder. Right now, all you can do is flip back and forth between your RAM startup and your flash startup folder. From the files menu prompt, enter file command, press .56 chord. As we said, the flash startup folder has no files at present. And so the grow light reports, flash startup folder is empty, enter file command. Flip back to your other folder with the .23 chord, and you'll hear RAM startup, RAM folder, enter file command. To hear the name of the currently open folder from the enter file command prompt, write a .2356 chord. Right now, you'll hear either RAM startup, RAM folder selected, enter file command, or flash startup folder, flash folder selected, enter file command. But once you have a few folders set up, this feature will come in handy. Just as you're able to jump from file to file if you know a file's number, you can jump from folder to folder when you know a folder's number. You can have up to 20 folders in your grow light and jump to the first 10 of them using drop numbers from 0 to 9. The RAM startup folder is numbered 0 and the flash startup folder is numbered 1. When you start creating your own folders, as we'll show you in the next section, each one will have its own number. Finally, to jump to the first folder in your folders list, press .236 chord, and to jump to the last one in the list, press .356 chord. Next, let's create a couple of folders with more personal names and start putting our files in order. New. Section 12.3, creating a folder. The grow light lets you create up to 20 folders, but it's very important to make sure you're in folder mode before attempting to create a folder. In other words, make sure that the setting Allow Folder Mode in your status menu is turned on, and upon entering the files menu to create a folder, set your unit to view files by their folders. By pressing the spacebar to hear Folder Mode, RAM Startup, enter file command. Incidentally, the grow light remembers how you left these settings when you turn it off, so you don't have to put them into effect every time you power up your unit. Once you're sure you're in folder mode from within the files menu, you're ready to create a folder. press the IMG sign, .346. The bill write says center folder name. Let's make a money folder so we can keep all our financial records in one place. Write money, and remember to spell out each letter. Don't ever use grade 2 Braille contractions in file or folder names. Press an E chord. Now you should hear enter F for flash for R for run folder. For practice, we'll write an R, meaning that this folder will be stored in the RAM portion of your unit. Why choose RAM for the location of the money folder? Since one of the main things we'll be doing with the files in your money folder is editing them to reflect, hopefully, your growing, not dwindling, bank account, the folder that contains your financial records must be in RAM. Once you respond to the last prompt, the bellwright creates the folder and places you back at Enter File command, ready to accept your next command. Now, simply follow the steps you've just taken to create the money folder to make yourself a seed folder, but place it in your flash portion of your unit instead of the RAM portion, where we put the money folder. Why? Well, you probably won't be editing recipes and restaurant menus much, and hopefully not even your diet chart. Okay, the next step is to begin organizing your files into specific folders. Of course, our files, practice, address, and so on, are just samples. You can call your files anything you want. We suggest you create a few files with junk data in them so you can practice how to put files into folders. When you're through practicing moving them in and out of folders, feel free to delete them or save them with your data, if you prefer. Before you move to the next section then, create yourself a few files like recipes, diet, menus, check, savings, credit, mortgage, and stock. Put some junk data into each one. Any files you create are placed in the RAM portion of your bellwright memory, not the flash portion. Remember, you can only store files in flash, read them, and move them from folder to folder, but that's all. The junk files you're creating for practice are all in your RAM startup folder for the moment. Once you've created some files to play with, you'll be ready to move on to the next section, where you'll see how to put all these files where they belong. New, 6.12.4, moving a file into a folder. Throughout this section, we've been using sample file names for our example. Let's say we want to move the recipes file into the seed folder. Logical. The first step is to point to the recipe file. If you're not already in it, open your practice file so we're all starting from the same place. As we indicated in the last section, any file you have created thus far is in the RAM startup folder because you haven't moved into another folder yet. So the recipes file is currently in your RAM startup folder as well. Starting from your currently open file, practice, bring up the files menu and find the recipes file by using .1 chords and .4 chords until you hear its name. Now press a GH sign chord .126 chord. The bell light prompts, select a folder, RAM startup folder. So not only are you asked to choose in what folder you want this file to be placed, you're also given the name of the folder where the file is currently located. To find the folder where you want the file to go, press .23 chords and .56 chords to move backward and forward respectively through the names of your existing folder. When you hear the name of the folder you want the recipe file to go, in this case, food, press an E chord. The bell light says, please wait. Pause it for a second, and then finishes with Enter File command. Make sure you're clear about what's happened here. The file has not actually been moved in the Braille light itself. Unless you've moved it from a folder in RAM to a folder in Flash. You do not have two copies of the file, one in your RAM startup folder and another in the food folder. What you do have now is the food folder with the file called recipes located in it, and no longer a file called recipes in your RAM startup folder. But you are still in the RAM startup folder, and the file you have open is still the practice file. Just because you moved the recipes file into the food folder doesn't mean you moved there and opened a file within that folder. You're still sitting in whatever file you had opened before you pointed to recipes to move it into the food folder. In our case, that's the practice file. And that file happens to be in the RAM startup folder. Now, let's see what to do if you want to put a bunch of files into a particular folder all at once. New 6.12.5, moving groups of files into a folder. Suppose you have a bunch of related files that you want to put into a particular folder. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just pick up the whole bunch and place them down where you want them to go all at once? Here's how. First, we'll take a step-by-step example, then run through some shortcuts. Let's begin by opening the practice file, if you're not already in it. As an example, we'll put all our money-related files, like checks, savings, mortgage, etc., into the money folder. Pull up the file's menu and this time write a GH sign without coding it. The bell light says, practice, is not marked. What this means is that the file currently being pointed to, in this case, the one that's open, is not tagged for being moved into another folder. To tag this file so it can be moved into our money folder, press the space bar, or line. Otherwise, press the .4 code or .1 code to point to another file in your files list, and see if you want to tag that one. Who wants to put a practice file into the money folder? Or skip practice and press .4 code to see what else there might be to tag. And by the way, if you mark a file and later decide to unmark it because it was the wrong one, say, or because you don't really need that one after all, you can point to the file and press an N. Just unmark that particular file. Then you can move on with a .4 code or .1 code to tag or untag other files in your files list. Back in our example, we'll say the next file the bell light sees in your files list is stock. The bell light says stock is not marked. This time, go ahead and press the space bar to tag the file for moving into our money folder. The bell light confirms with stock is marked. Okay, now press another .4 code and let's suppose the next file you point to is mortgage. So, the bell light reports mortgage is not marked. Again, it makes sense to put this file into the money folder, so press the space bar to tag the file. You will hear mortgage is marked to confirm the file is tagged for moving. Another .4 code brings us to diet is not marked. We'll skip this one because it doesn't belong in the money folder. One more .4 code points us to savings is not marked. Yes, this one we do want to tag. So press a space bar and you'll hear savings is marked. Sooner or later, you'll come to the end of your files list, or decide that you have enough files now in your tagged list. When you're finished tagging the files you want to move into the menu folder, press the E code. The bell light says, select a folder, RAM startup, RAM folder. You're being reminded what folder you're in right now, and being asked to what folder you'd like to move these tagged files. Press .56 codes and .23 codes until you hear the name of the folder where you want the group of files to go. Once you hear money folder, press an E code. The bell light says, please wait, OK, enter file command. Where do you suppose we are now? Are we in the money folder? No. We're still in the RAM startup. And what file is open? Press a key, and you'll hear something like, Practice. One page, bare file is open. Enter file command. Five. Remember that all we've done is to move a group of files into another folder. We've not actually gone into that folder and opened up a file within it. That's easy to do, and we'll do that next, now that we have some files in other folders to open. To verify where you are, exit the files menu with an E or an E chord, and you'll see that you are indeed still in your practice file, wherever you had left off within that file. As we said at the beginning of this section, there are a few shortcuts to mark groups of files you want to move to a folder. After you write the GH sign and hear that your currently open file is unmarked, backtest the space bar or Y to mark it, or move through your files list a file at a time to decide which ones to mark. Here are some things you might do instead. You can press a Y chord to mark the currently painted to file and jump immediately to the next one without having to press the .4 chord to get to it. You can press an R to mark all the files in the RAM portion of your Bell-like memory, or an F to mark all the files in the flash portion of memory. You can even press an M to mark all the files in your currently selected folder. A U unmarks them all in case you change your mind about moving all the files from your currently selected folder into another folder. And finally, you can mark and unmark similarly named files in your currently selected folder. To do this, press an M chord to mark and U chord to unmark. The bare light prompts you with enter file name and wait for a file name pattern with wildcards in it. See section 6.8 for a full discussion of wildcard characters and file names. Press an E chord after writing in the wildcard pattern. All the files with that pattern get marked and are ready for moving to a folder. If you decide to unmark a group of similarly named files, write a U chord. The bell light prompts you for a file name and again wait for a wildcard pattern. This time, when you write a wildcard pattern and press an E chord, all the files in your currently selected folder having that pattern get unmarked. They aren't tagged, and so they won't be moved into another folder. Once you've chosen the files you want to move and press the E chord that prompts you to select a folder, you can find that folder by moving through the folder list a folder at a time, as we saw in our example above, or you can jump to the folder you want if you know its number from 0 through 9. So you see, if you have a lot of files to move around and a lot of folders to juggle, there are some shortcuts you can take to move bunches of files all at once. Now, let's go and look at how our stocks are doing. New. 6.12.6. Opening a file in a different folder. Since we're still sitting in the practice file, all we have to do to get to our stocks file is to select its folder, money, then point to the file and open it. Let's go through this example step by step for clarity. Starting from practice, which is in the RAM startup folder, go up the files menu and press .23 chords and .56 chords until you hear money, RAM folder, enter file command. At this point, if you write a Q, say, to hear a quick listing of your files, you should hear only the names of your files in the money folder. Press .run chords and .4 chords until you find your stock file, and then open it with the usual O chord. That's all there is to it. And if you're lucky, you'll be reading about how those stocks you bought yesterday are soaring toward a record high. Maybe it's time to sell before the market takes a dive. Seriously though, the only potential confusion you might run across in finding files in their respective folders is that when you're in the files menu looking through your files list for a particular file and you don't see it, you might think it's gone somehow, when in actuality, it's just in another folder. One way to clear this up right away is to toggle out of folder mode temporarily with the space bar to here, all files mode. At this point, when you go through your files list, you hear the names of all your files, regardless of what folders they're in, and regardless of whether they are in RAM or flash memory. But what do you do when you have a file you want to edit or a program you want to run and it's being stored in a flash folder? We'll look at this next. Move 6.12.7. Moving files between RAM and flash. Now that you understand how to move your files into specific folders and that those folders can be stored either in RAM or flash, what happens when you want to work with one of those files that's stored in a flash folder? If you recall from our earlier discussion of flash memory, you can store files in flash memory and you can read them from there, but you cannot edit them. And if you want to run an external program that's stored in flash, you'll have to bring the program file into RAM in order to run it. As we've seen, it's not hard to move files from one folder to another, whether the folder is in RAM or in flash. But what if you don't really want to dig around looking for the folder in which a file is located? You just know that you want to add something to your recipe file, for example. Whether you're in folder mode or all files mode, which you can toggle from within the files menu, there are many ways to get to the file you want. But when that file is in flash and you want to edit it or run it, if it's a program, you have to bring it out into RAM. Here's how. From your practice file, the currently open file, bring up the files menu. If you're in folder mode, you'll hear something like files menu, RAM startup, RAM folder, enter file command. Let's toggle out of folder mode with the space bar. You should now hear all files mode, enter file command. At this point, your bare light will behave as it always has. In other words, you won't be able to go to a particular folder, just run through your files list. Let us key to hear your files list now. Notice that your bare light tells you when a file is in flash by saying flash file after announcing its name. In our example, recipes is in the flash portion of your bare light memory. We want to add that scrumptious new, not the calorie counter chocolate cheesecake recipe into the recipes file. So we need to put the file into RAM in order to be able to add to it. Point to the recipes file from within the files menu, as you normally would, with a .1 chord or a .4 chord, a .3 chord, or a .6 chord. When you get to it, the bare light says something like recipes flash file. Now press a GH sign chord. The bare light says recipes flash file move to RAM, enter wire in. Press a Y to move the file into RAM. The bare light asks you to please wait. Pauses for a moment and then confirms OK, enter file command. If you had changed your mind and had pressed an N at the prompt, the bell light would have said, abort, enter file command. In either case, where do you suppose we are now? In recipes? No. We're still in practice, where we were before starting this procedure. All we've done is move the recipes file into RAM so we can work with it. But we haven't yet opened it. To do that, bring up the files menu, point to the file using one of the several modes we've discussed, and then open it with an O chord. Now you can add that delicious cheesecake to your arsenal of waist-expanding desserts. That's all there is to it. Once you're done adding to the recipes file, you may return it to flash using the same method we just described. Note that if you move the file you have open into flash, that file will no longer be the currently open file. The bare light places you in the help file the minute the file you had open is moved into flash memory. The reverse is also true. If you're reading a file that's stored in flash memory and decide to edit some of its text, when you move the file into RAM, you won't still be in that file any longer. Instead, you'll be in the help file, and you'll need to go and open the file in the usual way in order to work with it. Okay, just a couple of more housekeeping commands to learn about folders, and we'll be done with this chapter. New 6.12.8. Changing the name of a folder. Suppose you have a folder whose name is no longer useful, or you misspelled the name you wanted it to have in the first place. Just as there's a way to rename a file, so too is there a way to rename a folder. Here's how. Bring up the files menu from wherever you are in your currently open file. Let's change the name of our food folder to diet. After that, cheesecake, no need one. Find the food folder with .23 chords and .56 chords. Once you hear its name, text a CH sign chords, .16 chord. The bell light says, enter folder name. Write the new name, diet, and press an E chord. The name of the folder is instantly changed, and you're returned to enter file command. It's as easy as that. The final thing to cover is how to get rid of folders you no longer need. New 6.12.9, deleting a folder. First of all, remember that folders are simply pointers of sorts, allowing the grouping of your files into logical categories that make sense to you. When you delete a folder, it must be empty of all files. As we saw in the last section, it's quite easy to move files between RAM and flash and from folder to folder. So when you decide to delete a particular folder, you must first either delete all the files it contains or move them to another folder for safekeeping. It's critical you realize that when you delete a file, it's deleted from your unit altogether, regardless of whether you're in folder mode and regardless of what folder the file is in, or even whether the file is in RAM or flash. Once you've deleted it, it's gone. Sometimes you can recover a deleted file if you move fast, the appendix A. But in general, once you've deleted a file, it's gone. So if you plan to delete a folder but keep a file, move them first. The bell light will not let you delete a folder that has files still in it. If you try, you'll hear, folder is not empty, enter file command. Now, let's say we want to delete our money folder, since we're broke anyway. So, stocks took a nosedive this morning. Bring up the files menu from your currently open file and find the money folder, with .23 chords and .56 chords. When you hear its name, check out the names of the files in the folder with one of the methods you know, say Q for a quick listing of the files. You might want to keep some of them, like the text or savings file, so first move them to some other folder, maybe just to your RAM startup folder temporarily. Delete that stock file and make sure the folder is empty before proceeding. Now, still from the files menu, write a .c6. Since the folder is empty, the bell light says, okay, enter file command. The money folder is now gone. Well, that's it for folders. You're done with this chapter at once. Summary. We've covered a vast number of ideas in Section 2. It's well worth reviewing them carefully until you're thoroughly comfortable with them. There are other files menu commands yet to examine, believe it or not. And there are other things we can do within files. Add a date from the calendar or a calculation result from the calculator. Figure out the number of physical braille or print pages that are in a file, etc. We'll cover these sophisticated concepts in detail in the next 2 seconds. We'll examine a bunch of very handy features the Dell Lite provides for you. Nevertheless, if you've mastered the concepts of the present section, you're well on your way to making the Dell Lite an indispensable tool.